You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Hey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On Podcast Network. Your San Antonio Spurs get back in action tonight as they host the New York Knicks at the AT&T Center. Hopefully the Spurs will get a little measure of revenge, because we all know what happened the last time these two teams met up at the Big Apple. Also on the show, Derek White. What more can you say about the second-year pro? Well, plenty more. We're going to talk about him and a lot more. To do that, I'm joined by my colleague at News 4 San Antonio, Jim Lefko. Jim, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs. And do we really, really have to recap what happened the last time the Knicks and Spurs met?
Well, I'm sure the Spurs would like to burn the video of that one, but maybe Pop will tell them it's a learning opportunity.
Well, I hope they learned plenty since the last time these two teams met. But, you know, the Knicks, they're coming in, you know, they're not the best team in the league. They only got, what, 13 wins on the season?
Yeah, the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
You're 13-56. That would be last.
That would be dead last, yes. But the last time, like you mentioned, the Spurs did lose them in the Big Apple. Would you say that loss was just simply just one of those games that every team has, or was there something to be learned from in the way the Spurs lost?
Well, I don't know. I guess you can learn something every time you lose. You know, that was right after that Toronto game, right at the end of the Rodeo road trip, and the Spurs played pretty well up there. Probably a bit of a moral victory, although they kind of kicked that one away and probably should have won it. Came into New York flat a couple nights later and just didn't show up against a mediocre team.
Mm-hmm.
DeRozan had a big game that night, but they lost by 12. I believe at the time New York hadn't won a home game in like 2 or 3 months.
Right.
So that was pretty pathetic. And now the Knicks are bringing in, they lost 7 in a row. So worst record in the NBA. You know, if the Spurs lose to these guys again, you know, I don't know what you can say. They certainly should have their instincts high this time, since they already, you know, they've lost to a bunch of bad teams this year. They've lost to Phoenix, lost to the Knicks, you know, they lost to Chicago. These are teams that you can't just show up against, but if you bring your A game, you're gonna put them away early and give the bench time to play the fourth quarter. So I think everybody expects, as well as the Spurs have been playing, that that's the kind of game this should be, that they put them away after three, and fourth quarter is mainly garbage time.
Yeah, my heart sank when you said when you brought up the idea of them losing against the Knicks. My heart just dropped, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to even think about that. But, look, the Spurs are coming off a win over the Mavericks out in Dallas at 112-105. They're on a six-game winning streak. They've won, eight in a row at home. So they're riding high right now, and taking on a Knicks team, as you mentioned, the worst team in the league, should not be an issue tonight. Is that right, Jim?
Well, you know, you just hope it's not one of those trap games.
Yeah.
You'd think at this point in the season there shouldn't be, because every win is so important. You know, the Spurs have nudged into that sixth spot in the West, and, you know, everybody's scoreboard watching. I'm just afraid, you know, they've got a conference rival looming after that with Portland and, down the road Houston, and you've got a few other teams above them in the division and the conference that they're going to be playing, and you just hope they don't take New York lightly, because a win against the Knicks counts just as much as a win against the Warriors or any of the other good teams they're going to be playing next week. So, yeah, that's the fear, is that, you know, they don't take them seriously, or, you know, they get out to a big lead and then just decide to pack it in like they did against Chicago, and or just don't show up like they did against the first Knicks game. So I don't think any of them, those things will happen. Spurs are playing well. They got the big three going now. We got a new big three, in case those of you that might have missed it. I think Derek White has now joined DeRozan and Aldridge as part of the big three. And if Rudy Gay is able to come back again from flu, then it's a big four. So the Spurs should not lose at home to New York.
That's right. I'm glad you brought up Rudy Gay. The injury report for tonight is Eubanks and Metu. They're out, G League. And Rudy Gay, as of this recording, is probable with the illness, as you mentioned, Jim. Now, the Spurs, they're 7-4 at home versus the East, while the Knicks are 3-10 on the road versus the West. So, again, more signs saying San Antonio should win. But tonight, and I'm glad you brought up Derek White, because – Dennis Smith Jr. was an issue for San Antonio up in New York City. I'd like to see White versus Dennis Smith tonight. I think it'd be interesting to see if he can continue, White, that is, his hot streak defensively. You know, he did a great job on Trae Young, did a good job on Luka Doncic. Now comes in another young athletic guard. Jim, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Smith. They've got some talent on this team. I mean, every NBA team has good players. So, you know, that goes without saying. I think this is one where the Spurs have to take care of their own business. And matchups will be fine. You identified a pretty good one. You know, you always like to watch White against whoever he's matched up against. But collectively, this is one of those where if the Spurs play, you know, good defense, hopefully none of those gimmicky zones needed, you know, like when they were in that losing streak, and just play good man-to-man defense. They're healthy. Again, if Gay is healthy and over the flu, there should be no excuses. So, yeah, it's good to see individual players, but, you know, there's not too many all-stars on the New York Knicks. It's a young team looking for the lottery, looking for next year. You know, management's probably not that even that interested in winning at this point. Mm-hmm. They want to go into the lottery with as many chances as they can to, you know, get that number one pick. So,
yeah,
I don't see any individual on that roster that should pose too many problems. The fact that Smith got their attention last time, you know, maybe that should be a, you know, warning call for everybody else. But the Spurs play the kind of defense they've been playing throughout the streak and, you know, hold them under 105. I don't see any problem taking care of anybody on this team. There's no way they should scare the Spurs.
I feel like every word you and I are saying right now leaning towards San Antonio getting a win tonight sounds like we're just putting a big jinx on the team tonight.
Throw one more out there. How about the fact that the Spurs have won six in a row and nobody else in the NBA right now has a winning streak of more than two?
Yeah.
So you got that, and then the Knicks come in with a seven-game losing streak. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you look at that as an omen. Other times you look at it after the Spurs win by 20 points and say, see, we knew it was coming. So if this one goes according to Hoyle, and if games aren't played on paper, but if they were, you'd figure the Spurs would be a heavy double-digit favorite to put the Knicks away tonight. So, you know, I just can't get a good, you know, ladder worked up on being worried about this one, especially with the fact that the Knicks beat them once before. I think I'd be more worried if the Spurs had blown them out up in New York and that they would then tend to want to take them lightly here. But since the opposite occurred, I think Pop's going to get everybody's attention in that locker room pregame.
Yeah, I mean, I was in Madison Square Garden following the loss to the Knicks and even the loss to the Nets. And, you know, the team, you know, DeRozan, Gay, and Aldridge, they were just saying, looking back at their New York trip, thinking, you know, what just happened? You know, why did we lose to these teams? You know, you factor in the fact that the Knicks didn't have DeAndre Jordan that night. You fast forward to the second night, you know, the Nets didn't have Spencer Dinwiddie. So, you know, I think the Spurs are going to want to kind of get a little measure of revenge tonight, prove to the Knicks that, hey, you know, you're what, a 13-win team. We're a lot better than that, and we should be beating teams that are below us. But one more thing before we take our first break is I want to bring up DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. As much as White has been getting attention, rightfully so, he's playing great. These two guys have been powerhouses for San Antonio in this winning streak. Back-to-back 20-plus point nights for them. DeRozan had 33 points versus Dallas. Aldridge is looking like the rock that he's been all season. I mean, a lot of credit has to go to these two guys in this win streak, Jim.
I'd agree. And although, if you remember, DeRozan had 32 against the Knicks. So not to throw more stats at you, but the stat that I think is kind of fun to look at, you know, DeRozan's led the team in scoring most of, if not the entire year. But he's only 0.4 points ahead of Aldridge. DeRozan's at 21.7, Aldridge at 21.3. That's probably not going to change in a game or two, but it's interesting. I don't know if you could have a scoring battle, you know, an intra-squad scoring battle to see who's going to emerge as the team leader. But it's a nice problem to have when both your guys are in the 21-point range, and we're still, you know, holding out to see who's going to wind up as the leading scorer. You know, DeRozan seems to have snapped out of the funk that he was in after that first Toronto game. And, boy, when he shoots with confidence and gets in the lane, you know, he's looked great the last couple games. I think he's turned the corner. He got rejuvenated with some time off. And those two have been playing well. And DeRozan, I also look at what he does on the defensive end of the court. You know, Aldridge has been pretty steady down there. DeRozan coming up with some steals, plays the passing lanes, and, you know, has not been the embarrassment maybe that some were worried he would be on defense. You know, I think he had some bad habits in Toronto, and I think playing a year under Pop has cured him of most of those things. And I'm happy with the kind of defense he's been playing, even when there have been games when he struggled from the field.
Yeah, he had four steals versus Dallas, up in Dallas. So good to see that aspect of his game rounding into form, and at the right time, too, with the postseason looming. So hopefully the Spurs get a win tonight. It looks like they will versus New York. And, hopefully their winning streak will continue. So Jim and I are going to take our first break. We get back, we're going to put in the spotlight Derek White. We are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko of News 4 San Antonio. Jim, Your weekly column went up this week, and it was all about Derek White, but you took a different angle on it. As much as everybody's looking at his stats and the defensive numbers, you asked a broader question, and that being, is he now part of the new Big Three? Jim, what did you have to say about that?
Well, I kind of took the approach, there was an argument going on earlier this season. I think Pop was the first one to say that White was the second most valuable player on the team. And at the time, I think that was giving DeRozan a little bit of short shrift. I mean, I think pretty much everybody would agree Aldridge is, the number one guy. But I had DeRozan number two for most of the season. And then kind of at the same time that DeRozan started his slide, over, the January-February stretch, White, to me, really made a resurgence. And in the last two, 3 weeks, I've really been trying to watch him closely. You know, as the game unfolds, either live or on TV, your eye always tends to go to the ball. And I've made a point of trying to stay away from the ball and watch how he's been playing on both ends of the court. And what I've seen is not that unique. Everybody's seen the same thing. I mean, he's really raised the level of his game, both offensively and defensively. And to be honest, I'm not sure which end of it surprises me more. I knew he would be good on both ends, but I didn't know he'd be great on both ends. And he's turned into an impact player on defense, the equivalent of a shutdown corner in football, where you can put him on somebody, and as we saw in Atlanta, he can wreak havoc on the other team. And he plays the passing lanes. The block shots, to me, were the most astounding statistic in that game, and we can talk about that in a minute. But then he's become a key fourth quarter scorer. Maybe DeRozan hasn't been quite as effective in the fourth quarter of some games, and there's Derek White stepping up. So what I concluded, those that haven't read it are welcome to go see it on our website, I think he's number two now in the value scale. I still think I might have DeRozan number two if you were just looking at quality, best player kind of ranking. Mm-hmm. But for value, if you're going for most valuable Spur, right now my number one is Aldridge and my number two is Derek White.
Yeah, and it's such who would have thought this? Who would have thought just in his second season White would have emerged to be this important for this Spurs team? Who could have also foreseen an injury to Murray? But, I've said it before in the articles at the Spurs Zone. You mentioned it before. As much as, horrible it was to see Murray go down, if it wasn't for that, maybe White wouldn't be in this position right now, Jim.
Yep, it's the old blessing in disguise. And, you can take adversity and you can go one of two ways with it. And the Spurs could have, licked their wounds and cried, woe is me, and, just bagged it for the season. Or they could have tried to make the best of what they had. And they've gone through a few different incarnations of that starting lineup. But I think they settled on Derek White as their point guard. So
yeah.
Been fun to see. He's got some great skills. It'll be fun next year to see him play alongside Murray. And I don't know, I think I'm excited about what lies ahead, but don't give up on this season yet. He's accomplished some great things, and I mentioned that six block game in Atlanta, and I've seen a few NBA games in my day, and I couldn't remember the last time I saw a guard get six blocks. So I went back and did a little research and found out that Michael Jordan, who played a few more games than Derek White has, never had more than six blocks in a game.
Wow.
LeBron James, who's played over almost 1,200 games, has never had six blocks in a game. His high is five. So that puts in perspective, I think, a little bit. And one more to throw at you, Kawhi Leonard. Love him or hate him, hell of a defensive player. He's played 455 career games. His career high for blocks, six. All those guys are taller than White and have many more years of experience. So, we'll see if he ever does that again. But, boy, doing that in your second year, I don't care who you're playing against. That's a heck of a lot of blocks. So that, put that in perspective and put him up there with the greats, and you see how he ranks at least in one category on a one-night basis. That's an impressive number.
LaMarcus Aldridge as well, he recently said after that Atlanta win, saying that not even him has had six blocks in the game. But, recently too, beyond the X's and O's and the blocks and the stats, Popovich spoke more about White. And I found this very interesting. He said that Derek White commands the respect of the players. My goodness. I mean, I think that's bigger than numbers, Jim.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. But here in your second year, you've almost become a guy that your teammates view with the same kind of value that we're putting on him. And again, they're smarter than we are. They see it every day. They see it in practice. They see it in the games. And boy, when Pop says something like that, and I guess it all goes back to Pop knows what he's talking about when it comes to basketball. And when he said earlier this year that White was the second most valuable player, maybe I and others should have listened a little more astutely. I thought that might have been a little hyperbole at the time. Maybe trying to bump up a young player's spirits. But, boy, if that was what he was trying to do, it worked. Because what we've seen out of White the last couple of months and really the whole season. It's just been amazing. And there are people now that are talking about him as being a candidate for one of the NBA all-defensive teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, that's tough because, you know, you're in a market where you see the same guys over and over. And how do you know who the Derek White is of you know, four or
right.
five other teams? But, again, with that as a caveat, I sure wouldn't keep him off my team. You know?
No.
He's up there. And the other thing I would say is, you know, DeJounte Murray last year made All-NBA, and I did not see that coming. And I think that it's hard to quantify, but I would say that White has had at least as, if not a more effective defensive season than Murray had last year. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. Sometimes it's hard to get attention when you're a young player, and sometimes people win that award just on career longevity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just looking at what he did on the court this year, I think he's a strong candidate to get that kind of honor at the end of the season.
Yeah, it would not surprise me at all if he's named to some sort of All-NBA defensive team, first or second. You know, what he's doing in such a short time of an NBA career, just astounding. And I just think back and I say, not bad for a kid who got recruited, what, by a culinary school? That's the only college team that recruited him. You know, and who would have thunk it, too? You know, and here the Spurs drafting, and they go with Derek White.
Right.
And again, you know, and I've covered so many NBA drafts in Brooklyn, or anywhere, at least when it was the one time held in Madison Square Garden. Every year, Jim, it never goes off. I'm sitting there in, I guess, the press pit because I just have this big bowl and everybody's just sitting in it. They know I'm there for the Spurs and for the station, and they're like, oh, we know what you guys are going to do, so whatever y'all pick is probably going to work out great. And I always think it's just one of those things to say. But I look back and I'm thinking, my God, it's true. Look what they're doing with Derek White. I mean, that player development, scouting, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, wow, Jim, that's just amazing what the Spurs can do.
Yeah, if the only school that recruits you is a culinary school, does that make you hungry?
Dun, dun. I think we just got the title for this episode right now. So I think you did a good job there. But look, I don't want to rain on the Derek White parade, and I really don't. But when I look ahead at this season, the Spurs likely are going to make the postseason. Do you think White's hot streak, or maybe a little bit more bluntly, he'll be smacked down to reality once the playoffs start? Because that's a whole other level.
Right. That's a great point. And, you know, as we evaluate the season, we can only do it from what we've seen so far. And here we are in mid-March. But, you know, a team like the Spurs and any quality franchise, you are what you do in the playoffs. You know, winning whatever they're going to win, you know, mid to high 40s games, that's fine. And it's great that they make the playoffs, assuming that they do. Not a 60-win team anymore. But the ultimate way people are going to look back on this season is how they do in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a guy like White, who doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, you know, last year being his first with the team, and I don't remember offhand how much he did or didn't play. But this will be critical. You know, you don't want to get, you know, exposed or embarrassed. I don't think he will. It would not surprise me if his numbers drop a little bit. Because when teams can game plan for you night after night after night, you know, that's something to think about. But look at it from his perspective. He'll get to go up against the same guy or two, four or five, six, seven games in a row. So defensively, that might play in his favor too.
Right.
So, you know, it would not surprise me if his offensive numbers maybe, you know, dip a little bit, maybe shooting percentage comes down a tad. But I think that defense is about effort and hustle. And he's got, you know, lots of both. So I think if the numbers slip a little bit on O, I think he'll pick it up on D and offset that. And what we'll see at the end of the playoff run is hopefully more of what we've seen throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, to read more about what Jim had to say about Derek White, perhaps becoming part of the new Big Three era in San Antonio, go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. It's there. Read it. It's great. Share it. I enjoy reading it. I love reading it before everybody else gets to read it out in the web universe. And Spurs, and I love it. I'm like, oh my God, Spurs fans are going to like this one. Oh, and I always will tell you, I go like, well, you're about to tick off some Spurs fans, or so it's going to happen. But this is one of those great pieces. I urge you listeners to go check it out at the Spurs Zone. Jim and I are going to take a final break, but we get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko, News 4 San Antonio, making his weekly appearance right here on Locked On Spurs. Jim, let's go ahead and put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. There's been kind of a little bit, I don't want to call it a debate, more like some chatter about White and DeJounte Murray next season when he does come back. I guess for lack of a better word, you don't foresee any type of point guard issue slash controversy with these two guys, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I think they're going to play well together. You got the point guard A and the point guard shooting guard B.
Yeah.
I think it's great to know that you've got somebody that can step in that spot if need be, and maybe it'll affect the way they rotate in and out, where White could get some time at the point guard spot. But, no, I see no problem at all with those two playing alongside each other. And, you know, if Bryn Forbes comes off the bench or, you know, there's another role for him, that's fine too. But, you know, it's nice to have folks that have experience, and I see it that is a good problem.
Right.
The emphasis on good, because you've got guys that are can handle, you know, multiple positions. So good problem for the Spurs to have next year.
Yeah, and I mentioned this before, but I thought today's NBA is positionless. So why not have these two guys starting next to each other, and maybe the Spurs want to go small and they put DeMar at the three spot?
That's the key. All three of those. You know, when you think about it, DeRozan has been a de facto point guard for a lot of the season as well. So, you know, depending on where you play DeRozan, if he's the three and the White's the two and Murray's the one, you got three guys that all have experience handling the ball.
Right.
So, again, nice situation. The NBA is kind of positionless. Unless you're a freak of nature, usually it's going to be your smaller guys who bring the ball up the court,
exactly,
beat the pressure, and initiate the team in the offense. So, and the Spurs are probably still pretty close to those traditional roles. But, to go back to your main point, they shouldn't have any problem playing together. These are good young players, a sturdy foundation who have multiple skills. So, again, nice situation to be in. There's a lot of NBA teams that would love to have that. And look at it from the defensive perspective. Whether, White does or doesn't make All-D this year, he's a candidate for it. And, DeJounte's already earned that honor. So you're going to have two guys in the backcourt that are at that level, and they're both, barely in their 20s. So nice position to be in for the next X number of years for the Spurs.
Yeah, and there's another guy too, Lonnie Walker. He's also on that roster too. So the Spurs will definitely have a lot of youth at the guard spot next season, Jim. I mean, it's, as you mentioned, it's a good problem to have, and Lonnie's going to get a season's worth of experience, whether he's riding on the bench or in the G League or playing spot minutes. Then there's the summer league, and then there's the off-season training, and there's working with the coaches. So he might be primed and ready to go.
Well, we've talked about and seen, firsthand how much Spurs players improved during the off-season after their rookie year. And, again, you've mentioned a couple of guys who made that big jump.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back even further, the Kawhi Leonards. It's nice to be able to have a summer to work with the Spurs coaches who can work on jump shots, who can work on offense, who can work on defense. And it would not surprise me at all to see Lonnie Walker come back with a lot more skills than he has right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he might be positioned to make the kind of jump that White made, that Murray was making, that others before them have done as well. So it all bodes well for that backcourt moving into next season.
I think at this point of a Lockdown Spurs, the listeners are probably thinking in their heads, this is where we insert the drooling face on our Twitter emoji, because, that is just, oh my goodness, Jim. I mean, that defensive presence with White and Murray, Walker's athleticism, he's hungry to prove that he has what it takes. Whew, it's a good time to be in San Antonio as far as their future is concerned. But we want to hear from you. What do you think about tonight's game, Spurs-Knicks? You crossing your fingers, or you think it's going to be an easy win for your silver and black? Let us know. Also, what do you think about Derek White? Is he now part of the new Big Three era in San Antonio? Do you agree with Jim's article at the Spurs Zone? We need to know, so let us know. Jim, take it away. How can fans let you know what they think?
Well, go to our website and read the story, and then tweet at me at Jim Lefko, and I'm happy to respond to any enlightened comments, agree or disagree, but happy to engage with Spurs fans if they want to talk Spurs basketball.
You actually did have a comment about your article. I went on Twitter. Somebody said, you finally came around, Jim, and I read it, and I'm like, when did he ever leave? I mean, I think he's always been on the T. White bandwagon.
Well, I had him third, and that what I came around on, in my opinion, was elevate him over DeRozan.
Gotcha.
That's a big shift, and again, I don't necessarily view that as criticism of DeRozan. The guy only leads the Spurs in points, assists, and steals right now. So that's not an awful season. But in terms of overall value, a lot of things you can't quantify. I've got Derek White one slot ahead of him right now.
That's right. So make sure you give Jim a follow. As for me, on Twitter, at Jeff G Spurs Zone. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what you think about your San Antonio Spurs. And don't forget the Spurs Zone. News War San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. But for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Lockdown Spurs.